Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Look at that, right on the dot. Good morning. Happy 7 a.m. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope your weekend is lined up to be all right. I know it's going to rain, but hopefully you got some plans.
We need it, man. 4th of July is next weekend. We got to have fires everywhere. Does this mean we can line off fireworks in Portland since it's raining this week?
How about you just do a drone show?
Are they banned again?
Fire danger is not high right now. So
that's what I'm saying. Did Portland ban fireworks already?
I feel like they did, yeah.
did we?
Like forever?
Like
is it permanently banned? I thought it was
year-by-year
basis.
Fireworks are allowed, but isn't
I don't think
over
technically anything is allowed. I think that's been our stance the last few years. Like, you can't light up anything.
There's no way that's true.
It's definitely true.
On the ground?
Like, they're not going to do anything about it. They don't have cops going neighborhood to neighborhood locking you up.
Okay, I'm going to share
a story.
Send
ICE out.
From 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We were in a Portland neighborhood, like proper Portland neighborhood, with a friend and family member. And I bought a ton of in-the-air fireworks. I just went super hard in the paint. And we lit them off, and they're going up, and the neighbors are enjoying the show. We're doing it responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
A cop literally stopped, got out.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Moved it on. Didn't do anything.
Dude, I guarantee if you could give truth serum to cops, the idea of them arresting people for fireworks is probably like the bottom of the things on the list that they would want to do.
Are they supposed to arrest or citation?
I don't know. I guess, yes. But even either way, you're driving around neighborhoods giving citations to people having fun on the 4th of July. And by the way, we did. We passed a permanent ban
on any
of sale, possession, and use of all permanent fireworks year round. That includes even small ground-based devices like sparklers. Sparkler, you could light up.
When did we do this?
2022, Portland City Council.
Okay, so maybe it's just within the Portland city limits, because I'm telling you, I've seen
people still.
Stands.
No, here's what
it
I'm saying.
It is just in the city.
Yeah, it's definitely just in the city. Like,
so you
can go
can't
out.
Do it. I can.
And people still light off fireworks.
Oh yeah,
they
I
still
know.
Do it.
They're gonna go crazy.
Has there been any sort of? Now, maybe there has. Have we had any mathing over the last 3 years that shows us that this has had an impact?
Like in a positive way?
Yes.
Have
the fires gone down in the last 3 years? Do we have less fires?
Do we have a bunch of city fires, by the way?
I don't.
The forest fires are
forest
one thing.
Fires are a big deal. If anything, ban fireworks at like Mount Hood. Don't let them go light them off up there.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be illegal.
That I guess.
Fully supportive. Yeah. Or the gorge. Fully support all of that.
But did like Eastmoreland almost burn down?
Right?
Did I miss that?
We're running for our lives.
Eastmoreland golf course fireworks.
That
man,
fountain that goes 5 feet in the air in the middle of the street is going to tear us all down.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
We had a lot of fun in the first hour of the radio program. Do you feel better about turning 60 than you did 40? You can chime in on that. We got to that. Talked a little World Cup. USA losing yesterday to Turkey, but it doesn't matter. We move on to the knockout stage next Wednesday at Santa Clara. And then if you missed our accounts that are aggregating Tom Dundon stories, then getting national reaction. So we're getting more feedback on Tom Dundon being a cheap tightwad.
Yes.
From the likes of Rachel Nichols. You can find all of that from the 6 a.m. hour on the Fan Sports Network, the podcast of Dirt and Sprague. A lot to get to here in the second hour of the radio program. Mike and Nori had the press conference yesterday.
He did. We met our new head coach.
I don't want to be hypercritical.
Mm. We have a criticism of the press conference. Did he lose the press conference to Brandon Sprague?
Well, you can't. I mean, unless
you can lose it.
Unless you're Adam Gase, you can't lose a press conference.
Or a general manager takes a sip of a bottle of water to shut down questions over sexual assault allegations from 30 years ago.
You're right. We did lose a press
conference.
We did
lose, yeah, the last time we hired a coach. And then pretended we interviewed Becky Hammond.
That's right.
Yeah. Remember that? Good times.
Well, you can lose it. It's largely
Jody Allen would never. Never.
It's almost impossible to lose a press conference.
Almost impossible. It has a 99% success rate.
No, my criticism was going to be us.
Oh.
Patrick carried this, and like it took forever for us to get the feed up because the Trailblazers are actually having trouble, I think, on the website.
They were running late, too, because I pulled up the one I watched was later on KGW. I didn't see it live.
Yeah.
And they had like 20 minutes of, maybe not even 20, but like 15 minutes of, the event will start soon. The event will start soon. And then they walked out.
Well, when we've done things like this in the past, because we've been in a different time slot in the past, we've done the thing of like bump the normal clock. And Patrick like cut after two quotes from Cronin. And Mike Inouye was about to start. And he goes, "We'll be right back." on the van.
On the van.
And I was like, why?
You gotta,
why are we braking?
Got to go to break. We
carry
get
the
brakes
whole
in.
Thing.
We don't know. They didn't start on time. This isn't our fault.
Figure it out,
Let
man.
Me know what time you're going to. How about we start a press? There's a fair critique. Start a press conference when you say you're going to start a press conference.
I almost text Patrick like, dude, don't break.
Keep
break.
Going. Keep going. I want to hear the answer.
There's like seven feeds. How did, there was Coin. There was KGW.
I don't know.
Yeah, all the local news channels feed. Were there.
Okay. Yeah, we used ours. I think we got ours from K2.
Yeah, exactly.
The one
yeah.
we used. But so Micah Norry is introduced. At the press conference yesterday, here is Micah Norry. What do you want to start with here? You want to start with contract stuff, or let's start with the message to Rip City?
Let's start with the contract stuff. Let's okay. just get it out of the way.
Okay,
the elephant in the room.
Yeah, here's Micah Norry on the contract that he signed, the one-year guarantee, two-year team options. That became a big deal.
I spoke to JB today, and he called me, and I said the way that I took that comment was that he is the president of 285 coaches, and he is defending his union. I sit on the board of that coaches group, and then we had a very good conversation, and we're fine. I'm fine with what he said. He has no bearing on me and how my feel is. As far as the contract goes and the way it's set up, the way that I look at this is opportunity. For 28 years, the first 25 of which I never had an agent. So every decision that I made, never once did money come into play or the years. I look at the opportunity knowing if I am successful that all those other things will take care of themselves. And for 28 years, I've been very, very fortunate. I'd like nothing more than in about 5, 6, 7 years to Joe be the first guy to ever fire me in the NBA. So 28 years I've been on a bench. And the way I look at it, when you talk about opportunity, is number one, do I believe that I can do the job? Yes, I do. Do I believe in this roster? Do I believe in Drew Holiday and Denny Avdija and Dame Lillard and City and Donovan and Scoot? And the list goes on and on. Yes, I do. Do I believe in Joe? Absolutely. Look at the roster that has been in the playoffs, we're adding Dame and where we can go in the future as far as flexibility and what he's done in roster management. And then Tom. Do I believe in Tom and do I trust Tom? I base it on what he's told me and the conversations that we've had. And all I do is I can go on what his track record shows. And I know that 7 days ago, he lifted a cup with the Carolina Hurricanes with the only coach that he's had in the 8 years as owner of that team. So again, to answer your question, the contract, those things will all take care of itself. Somewhere down the road, we're not going to get into the amount of monies and all that. That's nobody's business. But as far as I'm concerned, the contract is signed. It's in a drawer. I've never seen anybody, player or coach, bring their contract out onto the floor and say, okay, well, your contract is this. We'll give you 5 more points in that and there. And I know, I believe in these people standing behind all this group with this staff that, again, is a playoff coaching caliber staff and whoever else we bring in to add to that. And I am super excited, and that's the way I base it and think on it.
Great answer there from Micah Norry. Just a great answer on the contract, of the debate, of the outrage, of the – oh, this is going to affect the way players play, like all of that.
Guys aren't going to play hard, man.
He got it all. He nailed it all. But there was a back and forth from our friend Bill Orem. Him and Joe Cronin had a little bit of a back and forth. Now, you're going to hear Bill do follow-up question. It's a little...
You can't really hear
it fully.
It's a
little faint, but you can kind of get the basis of the back and forth between Orem and Joe Cronin.
All I'll say, Bill, is, you know, we... Micah and I and Tom, we agreed to take a chance on each other. We believe in him. He believes in us. You know, going into this 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I told you all we were going to approach this with a level of shared risk, and we tried to find that balance. But, you know, what the terms of the contract, to us, it doesn't really matter. Like, we're in this together. We're going to support Micah with all the resources and players and all the ability to win that he needs. And for us, that's just a technicality of, look, we're sharing some risk. We believe in you. Here's this opportunity. He believes in us. He wants to embrace this opportunity. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Why is shared risk, though, the philosophy that you approach the search? Like, why, from the outside, that seems like you're limiting your ability to go hire the coach you wanted.
We hired the coach we wanted to. Micah was a premier target, and he's here now.
But why go into it with the philosophy of shared risk and the idea of we're going to go into it with less money, fewer years?
Sure. It's, you know, we're going to approach every negotiation. We're going to, you know, do what's best for the organization to protect our downside, to promote upside. And in this situation, we felt like we did that.
It has to be a little odd. I'd imagine he prepared for it. It had to have been a little odd for Norrie to sit there and listen to the back and forth.
I mean, it's a guy who's waited 30 years nearly in the NBA, 28 years right on an NBA bench. He's never been fired before, and he touted that multiple times. He's been waiting for this opportunity, and there is an aspect of this that I feel genuinely bad for him, because it feels like this has dominated the narrative, and we love Bill, but asking the idea of, did you get the coach? You couldn't get the coach you wanted. Like, that's a little rough next to the coach they just hired at the introductory press conference.
Oh.
So I thought Norrie handled it well. To Joe Cronin's credit, like, I don't really know what you want him to say here. It's not his idea to give him a 1 year. The last coach he hired, they just they gave an extension to, three-year extension after winning 30% of his games, and that was fully guaranteed. I still am of the mind of this is kind of a nothing burger, and that Micah Norrie answered the question perfectly. He's betting on himself. There's shared risk here. He's never been a head coach before. I loved the press conference yesterday. I loved everything that we heard, and we'll get to more of the audio throughout the segment, but there's also a roll of the dice when you hire a guy who's never been a head coach before, and the idea of Jason Kidd making $40 million to not work over the next couple of years is something that's like, I'm not offended by that a coach didn't get a fully guaranteed contract. If he wins and he is successful over the next 3 years, and then he is priced out of our market because our owner is so cheap that he's unwilling to pay him the X amount of dollars it takes to keep him. Mm-hmm. That is a massive story about how cheap our owner is and how ridiculous this is and how he's doing things detrimental to the team. But for now, this notion that it's going to impact winning and losing, the other part of that, and Micah Norrie touched on it in that one quote, they might bring the entire staff back. So one of the biggest criticisms was you're not going to be able to attract assistant coaches to come to Portland from the sounds of it. Now, they haven't finalized any of the plans yet.
No.
He's meeting with everybody on the staff, and they might bring a large percentage of them back.
You know how I viewed that? I did view it through the cheap lens. Not in a bad way. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, but I just viewed it as like, are there guys you have to pay out even if the money is much smaller for an assistant than it ever would be for a head coach? And then also having to pay new assistants to come in. I more viewed that as like actually maybe a cost-saving situation for the franchise.
Sure.
But it also doesn't have to be a bad thing. Like, I can just tell you, I heard the other day, like, Nate Bjorken loves being here. He's one of the lead assistants. We all thought he was going to be the interim head coach when Chauncey got fired.
Yes.
Or arrested, because he hasn't been fired.
No.
Which is another whole weird thing. I was told,
and still can't talk about it.
I don't know if this is 100% accurate, that, like, there is a weird vibe around the facility because the Chauncey stuff has not been resolved.
It has not been settled
yet. I'm not saying that impacts Norrie or his contract or the stipulations of it. I'm just telling you that, like, I've heard that it is a very bizarre situation hanging over the franchise, and
what
he was
happened?
Asked about it,
yeah.
And he literally, Cronin cannot legally talk about it.
No.
Because everything is in flux right now. So the league has told him, don't talk about this.
You cannot say anything.
The league still has him on administrative leave. And there might still be stuff at the facility that still reminds you that, oh, Chauncey Billups is kind of technically still a little bit of a member, even though we know he's not going to be here. So
what happens if he's found not guilty?
Well, he's not working in the league anymore.
Yeah. Do you have to fire him and pay him out?
Yeah, once the league okays
Does he get the rest of the money on his contract?
I don't know. I don't know.
How does that work out if he's found not guilty?
I don't know, Dirt. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, I'm just
telling you that, like,
can you imagine if Dundon hired a coach who got arrested by the FBI?
Because it's cheaper? What if he fired Norrie?
I'm just saying, imagine how big of a headline that would be right now.
Sharks Chauncey brought back.
Circling in the waters.
What if
this
he
had
refused
been
to pick up the team option for Norrie because Chauncey was only $1 million a year?
Ooh, and that's the year he's getting out of prison at the end of the contract, and you're bringing him back?
It's a work release program.
I mean, you know, I believe in second chances. We hired him for $4 an hour.
Look, I'm not a journalist in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Was the takeaway for you about the contract and Norrie, or was, like, because I thought Quick and Freeman had really good write-ups on the story. They've, like, his backstory. I had no idea much about, like, I knew some of his stuff. I knew his dad was a coach.
Yeah.
This was a college baseball player.
It was at Indiana. Really good college baseball
player. His kid is in Double-A baseball now. He's a baseball guy whose dad coached basketball, but he wasn't stellar at basketball, nor was he good enough to go pro in baseball out of Indiana. But he just got in. His dad basically was like, it's not even about the sport, dude. Coaching is about people, relationships, and teaching.
He's Ted Lasso.
I
don't need to know.
Ted Lasso
he knows
story.
The sport. He's very smart about it.
Very smart.
We can get into the details behind that. But that was, I wanted to get the contract stuff out of the way. So much attention has been spent to it. I thought he answered the questions perfectly yesterday.
I did too.
It's in a drawer. I signed the contract. Can we let it go? Like, can we stop having this be a massive storyline?
Yeah.
Let's start talking basketball. And I will say this. Again, it's impossible to lose a press conference unless you're Neil O'Shea sipping a water bottle or Adam Gase high on drugs and his eyes are popping out of his head. Mm-hmm. I thought that I got more basketball information in terms of schematics and things that they're trying to do in one 15-minute press conference than I did in 5 years under Chauncey Billups or Tiago Splitter. There were more analytical, stat-driven answers, interesting quips about this has to improve, that has to improve, this will be our focus, that'll be our focus, we're going to do this with these kind of players. Like, I thought that I got more basketball information in one 15-minute interview or press conference with Mike Anori than we did at any time with Chauncey Billups or Tiago Splitter.
Yeah, my takeaway, I mean, the contract stuff became very viral, and obviously it was going to be asked and talked about. But after listening to the whole press conference, I had quickly moved on from that topic to...
Yes, to being excited about who he is as a basketball mind and a coach.
This guy's getting me excited about how he views the team that we have. I don't know if they're going to make moves, major moves, or they're going to bring in John Collins on the mid-level. It's very well what they could do.
We got Dame Lillard back, baby.
But yeah, he talked about that. So let's get to some of the other stuff. Let's get away from all the contract stuff. Let's play this. Mike Anori... on how he views the identity of the team.
Our identity is when they come in here 41-plus nights a year with the energy we have in this building, we want to make sure that we are a physical team. You know, we don't want to use the word by just in a relentless team where everything and make them feel us, all those things, but we have to make sure, and the great thing about this roster is we have defenders all across the board, and so defensively just picking up, being physical, not let people go where they want to go, push them off those spots, turn the people over. We have a team that should be able to create turnovers and play with greater pace. And that will be the main thing. And like I said before, we're not going to be a team that sits around and hopes people miss. We're going to force them to make tough shots where we want them to be. Offensively, the easiest way to think of it is when the clock is moving, we're moving. We're not going to take it out, look over, get play calls, walk it up. And I know everybody says that, but we will do that, and we will do it with defined spacing. We'll get to the corners, dunkers, create space for these guys, and it'll be a lot more concepts where it's not just play calls where you're going from A to B. There'll be reads, decision-making, and that will also help cut down the turnovers, which we led the league in, as I mentioned. So they will know where the openings will be, that type of thing there. We will also crash the glass, get the extra point, extra possessions, because it is an analytical game. When it comes to that, as far as not turning it over and going to get second chance points, and as we mentioned, 21 and 22 in two possession games. So any place where you can win those margins, that's what it will be.
He also was asked about Tom Dundon, and he had this to say about Dundon's desire to win.
What does that mean? I think, number one, when you look at what he's done with that, again, the roster with Carolina, where as far as he has given them the players and spent the money to put the players on the ice and led to a championship. So he's done it. So we know that he has done that, and that is what his drive is for us. So to me, I take it as he is going to continue with Joe and his staff, allowing us to assemble the best roster that we possibly can. We have some very good contracts. We have some very good players. And we can go a lot of different ways, which is great. We control our own destiny and our own decisions, which is awesome in the NBA. And it feels good when I can go out and my staff can go out and these players can go out. And the only thing we're worried about is executing and winning basketball games. And it's not a thing where we have to develop this guy or do that. No, no. The charge has been to win as many basketball games as we possibly can.
Yeah, Tom Dundon told him, we're done tanking, dude. We're trying to win now. We're done with that. And so Mike Anori brought in. We'll see what they do with the roster. That's going to be an evolving thing as the free agency period will kick off here in about a week or so. But
yeah, Hyken had a question about that at the very end, and it was, we'll see. You know, well, free. I mean, what's he going
to
say?
Hyken's supposed to ask that question.
Right.
Also, I know Joe Cronin's not going to get. Yeah, you know, actually, we're in the works with three different.
We're on the phone with Boston. You know, here's what we're offering for Jaylen Brown. Do you feel like that's a good package?
You got to ask the question, though.
Yes.
I get it. So
yes, you do.
I thought for the most part, you got exactly what you wanted. You wanted to see how they were going to address the contract stuff. Joe is towing the Dundon line, right? So he works for. Nori is towing the, it's my dream. I'm taking a chance on myself. Why is this a big deal? I can't control that it is. I'm just going to worry about the players. And he was so right of, dude, in this ecosystem, we will not care about this in August, in September.
No.
In October when they kick the season off, and then in December, if they're the five seed and they're playing well. We literally will not care.
It will disappear.
If anything, I think Mike Richmond said it. He was like, if anything, we'll talk about how it's the best efficiency season from a coach of all time.
Just like we do for Denny Avia. Look how great that contract is. That's got a good contract.
Can I just quickly point out that the media, nationally and probably locally in Phoenix, kept giving the Suns crap for firing, what, three head coaches in a row? Monty Williams, Vogel, to Budenholzer. I think after firing Frank Vogel, they ended up giving Mike Budenholzer more money. They were lambasted on a freaking stick. Why are we now doing this on the other end of the Portland Trailblazers?
Their owner spends a lot of money, though. That's
but they
the
gave him. They were criticized for paying four coaches at the same time. Yeah,
they're like, saying,
why would you do that?
You spend money. That wasn't the right way to do it.
We all need to criticize something.
Come on!
We all need to be mad about something
Let
at all
me
times.
Yell.
I tend to agree with the large people online that do think, like, you just. Are you always looking to be mad and upset? And by the way, being mad and upset, it's fair to feel that way. You want some breaking news? I hate to tell this to your soul and your ego.
Uh-oh.
You will literally not make Tom Dundon change who he is.
No.
You can scream about it till the cows come home. He is going to operate on a very cheap way, especially when you comp it the way the Vulcans and Paul Allen did when he was still alive. So it's a new day in Rip City. A little bit more on Mike and Nori and the journey and another couple quotes. There was something that stuck out with me in what he said of talking about this roster and improving it. So we'll talk about that. You can share your thoughts at the Fan Text Line, 503-864-6326. Hour 2 rolls on the Fan. Did you trade Tumani Kamara for Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
Would you want Kawhi Leonard even if he doesn't sign an extension?
How many years does he have left on his deal?
Or are you excited about John Collins or Mitchell Robinson?
No and no.
Mitch Robinson helped win a title.
He can't shoot free throws. He sucks. What did he shoot, 24% from the free throw line?
We were hack-a-shacking in the finals.
They hack-a-shacked in like the second quarter of a finals game. Yeah, get him out of here.
I know.
Need shooters. That's what I keep people telling me. We need shooters.
Have you ever felt so bad for a person you don't know that you're willing to donate your actual money to help them be better? We can talk about that. I want to get to that story.
We can get to that.
It's a nice little Friday. We're talking about Mike and Nori. We're not dwelling on the contract stuff. It was asked. It was answered. I just don't know what you – there could be nothing else that you could want. Like,
no.
You're either anti-Tom Dundon for almost ever – or you don't really care, but the media is making you think you care, but you don't. They answered it. He's willing to take the deal. He signed his name on it. He wants to work and earn it because he feels he's legitimately a good coach. And there was something that stuck out to me. He was talking just a way about they get the three-point shot.
Yes.
I thought that was one of the smarter ones I had heard, right? Like, it seems so simple, and yet you don't hear a lot of coaches talk about it. And it was basically like, we got to find out, and he was citing all the websites that these coaches use that some media members have access to of, you know, are you better on the catch and shoot? Are you better on the off screen? Are you better off screen, off ball? You know, are
stepping
you
back with your right leg or your left leg?
Are you better at home? Are you better in the corner on the road? Like, so many analytical ways that they already have information to get guys the right shots. I loved his, we will not lead the league in turnovers. I loved his, you know, caring about defense while understanding they need to attack glass. If you can be good in one category of rebounding, you should be good in the other category of rebounding. I love the push tempo thing. I have heard that for three different coaches, and it doesn't change if Dame Lillard's on your team, and I don't expect it to when Dame Lillard is playing.
Right.
Ann Edwards, they noted, was not really much of an up and down player when the Wolves played. It would be when Ann Edwards would sit. But I thought he overall, it's going to take the roster getting better. We know this.
Yep.
But he absolutely came in as, to Joe Cronin's point, one of the best candidates in the field this offseason, like not knowing a Dusty May is available, right? And he's somebody that came within inches of a Cleveland and New York job. But as he noted in the press conference, they kept telling him, you don't have experience in the chair.
Right, we love you, but we want a guy. We're close to winning, and we need a guy who's been a head coach before.
And he got a brief experience in the 24 playoffs, filling in for an injured Chris Finch, and he said that's when he learned he could be a head coach in this league.
Yeah, I could do this.
And he seems like a really good player's coach, and so just the thing for me was, yes, you need to make the roster better, but I thought he at least actually showed you from a coaching standpoint ways to implement and improve a team that, as he noted multiple times, was a playoff roster, adding Dame Lillard.
I mean, going back to what we talked about earlier in the week when the hire was made, the only thing that mattered to me was the answer of, do you think they hired a good coach? And to me, the answer at the time was yes. I felt like I was going to like the press conference based on the videos and the sense of humor that he had. Like, he just seemed like the kind of guy that was going to gel well with us. And then you watch the press conference, and that was the case. Like, I loved a lot of what he had to say. The simplicity of him explaining things. It was funny because the two pieces I read last night were quick, who I thought had a great piece up on The Athletic, and Freeman, who had a really good one up with The Oregonian. Freeman, it was funny to scroll through Joe Freeman's timeline and see, like, wait, we got a positive headline on the Blazers? Feel like we haven't had a lot of those. And I think his quote was from Dwayne Casey saying it was a home run hire. The Blazers make a home run hire. And it was just really nice
to
see. He's
got really good quotes from Casey.
Yeah, and to go through it and to get some of the backstory and all that. And one of the things, I can't remember whose piece had it, but it was Chris Finch explaining that one of the strengths of Mike Anori as a coach is the ability to take these complex game plans, these, you know, schematics, and we need you to do this, and we need you to rotate here, and things that can maybe overwhelm some players, but find a way to explain it in a language that everybody can understand. And then he goes through the press conference, and I'm not the biggest basketball savant in the world. I don't watch it, you know, from sun up to sundown. You and, you know, other Danny and other guys watch far more basketball than I do and understand the schematics of it more. But I came away from the press conference after reading those pieces in particular being like, I get it. He explained it in a way that I understand. And hearing somebody in an opening press conference, and maybe this has happened in others, I don't watch every opening press conference of every team and coach. Mm-hmm. Hearing somebody, though, identify, dude, like, these were our problems last year. This was the issue. We were below 500 in games that were one-possession games with whatever it is, 5 minutes to go. What do you say? 21-22 was the record. We led the league in turnovers. We were one of the worst shooting teams in the league. And he went through a detailed list of, like,
how you improve.
Okay,
that.
Like, Dame's obviously going to help. That's a part of his answer. But, and then to your point on how do we get guys the optimal shot on the floor, turning it over, how do we play with more style and not as rigid so guys are just trusting each other and understanding where they're supposed to be, and then the execution and the shooting should both help hand in hand, the late game execution and not blowing those games when you have a chance to win or the one possession games. And so I knew that I was going to like him. I came away blown away. My take has not changed in terms of ultimately what matters is what does the roster look like and can you go add to it? Because Mike Anora could be as good as coach that exists out there, but if you're not going to give him more pieces to work with, you're going to have a ceiling on how far you can actually go. But reading through his backstory, man, it was a breath of fresh air. Like somebody who has spent 28 years on NBA benches, he's never been fired, and he has held literally every job under the sun, from an intern to an advanced scout to an offensive guy to a defensive guy to out-of-timeout plays to rotation. Like, he has notched everything of his belt in saying, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And it's really from going from a head coach that we hired and gave a five-year fully guaranteed contract to, who had been 1 year as an assistant in the NBA, to giving this guy a deal and saying, go be our head coach after 28 years and doing every job. It was really fun to kind of get to know more about him and to see what he had to say yesterday.
Yeah, the thing about the Chauncey part, too, as you comp that, is the one thing they had as an organization and Chauncey himself, it's Chauncey Billups, right?
He, like, was a big-time player.
And when you win a title, you're a finals MVP, you're Mr. Big Shot, you may not have the most coaching experience, but a lot of people are going to say, well, you know ball.
You were a captain, right? You were a point guard, especially.
You played at the highest level possible, and you were one of the best players at one point in the league for a couple seasons. I thought this was a really good antidote, and I thought this was, this is from Quick Story on The Athletic. So he starts, he creates his name and who he is as a coach in Toronto in the late 2000s, like 2009. And this is a story from Jay Triano. Remember him?
I do.
From Portland. He was head coach of the Raptors. And here is a story that Jay Triano told Jason Quick. Quote, we're in a meeting. Well, actually, this isn't the quote, but he's basically, they're in a big meeting. This is a staff meeting. It's involving Brian Colangelo, the assistant general manager of the Raptors. Like, this is a pretty important meeting, right? They're all in one room together.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of this meeting, Nori's phone rings. And he stands up, he goes, sorry guys, gotta take it, walks out of the room. So imagine you're a first-time assistant coach in a league with established names and people.
The powers that be are all in the same room.
And you just get up in front of everybody, sorry, gotta take it.
Got to call.
And you just walk out of a meeting that they find very important, right? He comes back, and Triano says, quote, and pretty soon he's like, no, Larry Brown called four down, but I saw Iverson wipe him off, so that play at 3:24 in the third quarter ended up being thumbs up. Everybody in the room heard him say that and were completely jaw-dropped because they had realized he watched so much basketball.
Yeah, he had scouts on every team.
That he remembered, and when he scouted, he was so detailed, he remembered at specific points of every quarter of almost every game every day when plays were called.
Yeah.
And like,
think of the quotes that we play from Sean McVay of like, yeah. Second quarter, it was third and nine, 9 minutes to go.
Yes.
We called a naked bootleg.
Yes.
And you're just like, this guy's the smartest guy on the planet.
That's basically
what
Mike Anori did at the start of his career in Toronto in the early 2000s. He's given credit from Dwayne Casey. This was in the Freeman piece of Blake Griffin getting to Detroit and becoming a three-ball shooter, not just a highlight dunk real guy.
Remodeling his game.
Yeah. Mike Anori was the guy responsible for working specifically with Blake Griffin. So we talk about player development. You have like one of the biggest names in the NBA in the last 20 years. There's evidence there. Maybe he gets Donovan Klingon to become a more efficient, high-volume three-point shooter, which would certainly help the roster. Like, you talk about details. He has all of the details. You talk about out of the timeouts. Game planning offense, and like you're so right. He checks the box.
He's done now, everything that you can do other than be a head coach.
He also gave proper credit because he was asked by Gundy about the year when he filled in for Finch in the playoffs, and he says, yeah, this is when I learned it. What was his quote? It was like something about minor to majors.
You don't want to major in minors.
In
that
minors.
There are minor issues that come up, and you have to have a staff that you trust in order to take care of those things.
Thank you. I thought that was a great like bar that he dropped. And so you hear him talk about that. What did he finish it with, though? Yeah, you know, 90% of that, though, is having Ann Edwards.
It helps. It makes my life
having
easier.
Having Kat and Ann Edwards on the floor, 90% of what happened is done by them because they're so elite. Like, exactly what you want to hear. I don't know what his win-loss record is going to be. The roster needs to be upgraded, point blank. That's just all it bears down to, because I think if you can't upgrade the roster, what I take away yesterday is this guy is more than capable of getting the team in a good spot.
Yes.
If you have the right guys on the court.
Yeah, I mean, just to add to the scouting note too, because that was a huge takeaway yesterday. Like, I knew he at one point was an advanced scout. I didn't know a lot of the details about it and how long he did it and how he got into the NBA until some of these pieces came out yesterday. But the idea of being as good of an advanced scout as he was, that usually you would have multiple guys who would kind of rotate. Like, I have six teams, you have six teams, he has six teams. You get assigned teams, so you can do a deep dive on that team, and then whenever they're up on the schedule, hey, we play the Bulls three times, you're the Bulls guys, so give us the scouting report on it. He was so good and so thought out and so well prepared that he basically became the advanced scout for every team in the NBA, which is not a normal thing. And I think when you're concerned about a first-time head coach, and we went through this, not to continue to bring up Chauncey, but like we went through this with Chauncey where there was an idea of like he's going to have to learn on the job. He's only been an assistant coach for 1 year, and you could know as much as you want about basketball. You can be – Magic Johnson is as good as a player we have ever seen in the NBA. How was he as a head coach, right? It doesn't always translate, and there's a learning process once you get on the job. That's the exciting part about this is that, yes, there's a gamble on a first-time head coach, but somebody who has as much experience as he has, not just in one category, a guy who has experience in every category that you can, mm-hmm. I don't see there being a massive learning curve. Now, there'll be moments that come up that he's not, I've never had to deal with this before. How should I handle it? Who do I call? I thought Danny asked a great question yesterday of like, who are the people you're leaning on in terms of going through stuff for the first time now that you're fully in this seat? And so, of course, there's going to be ups and downs and highs and lows, but I don't view this as a normal first-time head coach. I got to learn on the fly here. He's been an assistant for 28 years for however many different head coaches,
respected coaches.
There's some really successful franchises and all that. So I don't see that being a problem. And it's remarkable to think about how long he has been around and how much he's done in that 28 years.
I mean, I know we highlighted the contract part of this at the beginning of the 7 a.m. hour, and we played the cuts and the Orem Cronin back and forth, and you know the whole contract question. I just want you to paint a picture in your mind. We'd be dealing with that, and if they hired Tyler Lashbrook, what else we'd be saying?
Right.
How much worse, I could argue, the narrative stuff
would have
been.
Yeah.
But to Cronin's point, they ended up getting the coach they wanted, or a coach that was
high on their list,
highly regarded by most people in the league. So, yeah, you might not like that he's getting the contract he got. That's between him, his wife, and the team.
Yes.
It's none of our business. And you're not going to make Joe or Tom Dundon change how he's going to operate things. You can scream into the universe forever. It's not going to make Tom Dundon change. But the beauty is, once you move on past the contract, it's actual based stuff of evidence of what the guy has accomplished and done and proven, versus if they hired Lashbrook, you and I might still have the same takeaway of, like, is the roster going to be better? But it's also going to be, you know, the narrative-based stuff's going to be, this guy was in the second row of the bench,
right,
and he's 29 years old or he's 30 years old.
He's barely got a cup of coffee in the NBA. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's already been negative enough. It would have been so much more negative if they hired Lashbrook.
Yes, it would have.
But they ended up getting Norrie. So I'm excited about it. We need to look into the free agency stuff, and that'll come with time. But they need to make moves and upgrade the roster if we want a good coach to have more success than we had the last 5 to 6 seasons.
Now go get Jaylen Brown.
Well, that would be great. Or Vucevic.
Vucevic.
Or Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes is on our list now.
It's not a great crop of free agents.
That's what we're talking about.
John Collins might be the best one they can sign. I don't know where people are at on that.
He shoot a basketball?
You want Rui Hachimura for the mid-level?
Yes, bring Rui. He was destined to be a Blazer from years ago. We should have traded him for Dame Lillard.
Back with more Mike and Norrie hired as the Blazer coach on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. NBA dealings are still going on. According to Shams Charania, ESPN, the Boston Celtics.
What do they want? What do they want for Brown? What's the asking price?
Well, like, from us, it would not – I don't know. Like, Shaden, it would be like the Tamani Kamara.
You'd have to have a player.
A role guy that's high level that's really going to instantly be a plug and play, not a guy who jumps 46 inches, but half the time we're not sure he cares. They would want, like, real –
There's a report that they want a big. They need a big this offseason. Here's Donovan Klingon. Take him. Go ahead.
You trade Donovan for Jaylen Brown?
Are you kidding me?
I'm just asking.
Is that a serious question? Okay, is there somebody that would say no to that?
Do you want me to say no? That's not a serious question.
That shouldn't be a serious question. Those people are not serious people, are they?
When somebody asks you a question, I've done this.
is that a serious question?
Is it fake?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to put this up as a poll question. This will be our poll question
today. Would you include Donovan Klingon?
It's not a straight up trade. You're going to need a whole lot more than Donovan Klingon. Yeah. Breaking news.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown was top five in MVP voting this year. Donovan Klingon, check notes, was not top five in MVP voting this year. Mm. Would you include Donovan Klingon in a trade for Jaylen Brown going up right now?
Because, yeah, the Celtics need a big.
I would do that. And what else do you want? Klingon, 4 firsts, Shaden Sharp, Jerami Grant. Did I get it done? I'd do that for Jaylen Brown.
Klingon having an 18-16 game against the Detroit Pistons of the second round in the Eastern Conference playoff, we're going to lose our minds.
I also will lose my mind watching our best player average 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists a game as one of the 10 best players in the NBA and a Finals MVP and an Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Mm. Touche. That's not a bad thing to
like,
have.
I'm not asking about, like, Zion Williamson here, okay? Roll the dice. I don't know. Anthony Davis? Yeah, by all means, dude. I get the trepidation. He might be gone out for a year and he can't stay healthy.
Are you nervous that Jaylen Brown just tweets, I love cats?
No.
With no context?
He's going to fit in perfectly. He's weird.
He's a cat man.
He's perfect for Portland, Oregon.
Cat man.
He's a West Coast guy. Bring him back, man.
Does Jaylen Brown have a nickname?
I'm sure he does.
What's the reference say his nickname is? Because Catman is a hilarious nickname.
Catman would be a great...
I know we have a cat in Carl Anthony Towns,
right.
But...
Catman is different than cat, though.
He's a college professor, too, right?
Jaylen Brown is?
Yeah.
Is he
that.
A professor?
He teaches classes at, like, either MIT or one of the big...
So we're talking, like, a big smart school here?
Yeah, let me see here.
JB's not a nickname.
No, that doesn't count.
This says, the old man and the grave digger.
The grave digger?
Monster truck nickname, I guess.
You can't do that.
That's what Basketball Reference says, and they're never wrong.
We got to come up with a better nickname than that when he's in a Portland Trailblazer uniform.
And Jaylen gives lectures at Harvard and MIT.
Okay.
He's actually a really smart dude. Yes. Very interesting cat, man.
Poll question is up. Would you include Donovan Klingon in a trade for Jaylen Brown?
Thank you. Well, I mean, it is that season.
If that is...
There's going to be no's. You're going to get more no's on that than you think.
If it's higher than 15%, I'm going to scream.
The most blazing.
Really?
I'm
going to
scream. If it is higher than 15%, I am going to scream. How many times do we need to learn the lesson of known commodity versus unknown commodity? What's Donovan Klingon's ceiling?
I, I can't tell you. No,
you know what Jaylen Brown's ceiling is? Finals MVP.
Yep.
Okay.
Top what? 5-6 MVP finalists.
Was he first team All NBA this year?
Second
team All NBA this year. Will Donovan Klingon ever be second team All NBA in his career?
No.
Okay.
I will venture.
What did we take in the first round of the draft last year?
A center.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got one of those, too.
We got one of those.
He's just waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
We got Chinese Jokic.
We do have Chinese Jokic.
Just ready to pop this year.
But we can't lose
we
Time
can't.
Lord.
We cannot survive without Donovan Klingon next season.
We have that.
How dare we?
Poll question is up. You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. It is that season. We won't spend the whole segment on that, on the hypothetical trade that may or may never happen.
It's just a weird one of, like, if you do try and bring him back, maybe he's willing to overlook it because his name's been in trades before. That seems like that. Does a relationship end or does it not?
I mean,
how publicly they were shopping him, and then Stevens coming out with quotes of like, no, I mean, if he's still here, we're happy about it.
Yeah, but he said that, but it's still coming out like yesterday. They're actively engaged in trade talks.
Yes.
I think behind the scenes, they're trying to handle this as professionally as possible.
Right.
Brown, to his credit, has not streamed anything and said something out in the public yet.
He's not gone full Brandon Ayuk on us.
Well, that's a whole other problematic storyline. My wife's like, why are you watching this guy just rant about weird things? I go, well, it's just...
Who's this crazy guy filming himself?
Wide receiver on my football team, and he hates everything right
he
now.
He wants to play for Washington really bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure Washington wants him, but
no.
He also hasn't filed the paperwork to be able to get released, according to Jeremy Fowler. So he's doing all these weird cryptic videos, but he's not doing what he's supposed to do. So he'll be like, dude,
why would the Niners do anything to help you out? It's a game of chicken.
I think he's kind of lost his mind a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yes, he has.
Would you donate money to somebody you don't know to help them with a medical situation?
Yeah.
For a non-life-threatening issue?
Ooh.
So, it's one thing to stumble across a GoFundMe. My wife has cancer.
Yes.
And somebody you know reposted it. And you're like, this person's vouching to go do this.
Right. They're close with them.
This is awful. I want to help. I've done that before.
Not
life threatening.
How much are they asking for, and where are the donations at?
They're at
GoFundMe. Can I get more details?
Yeah. Okay. It's $22,000 they're aining for.
That's what they're aiming for. 22 grand.
Yep.
Where are they at? What's the total? What are we? How close are we to 22 grand?
Give me a second here.
Because if we're close, I'm going to just tend to think you're going to get there and you don't need my $100. It'll be all right.
I'm trying to find the I can't find the GoFundMe. I don't believe he has gotten to where he needs.
Okay, not fully to the goal yet?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that I would. Final answer. Life-threatening, yes. Not every time, but sometimes. Not life-threatening. I'm out on that. And I don't know you on top of it. No, thank you.
There is a North Carolina man with the alleged world's smallest penis requesting $22,000 from the public to fund an operation that will add inches to his tiny tallywhacker. I'm reading it on the New York Post.
They had AI help write this, but that was
he
good.
Posted a financial aid plea on a GoFundMe page.
Mommy, what's a tallywhacker?
Entitled, Help Michael Grow Micro Enlargement Surgery.
Help Michael grow.
He says, I'm reaching out with a deeply personal medical challenge. He's 38 years old.
Okay, how small are we talking?
He's raised $9,000 so far of his $22,000 goal. And according to the post, he measures at 0.38 inches long.
Oh, damn.
So he actually cannot... Yeah. Whoa. So it's a struggle for him to use the restroom.
Whoa.
And he's hoping to just get to 3.6 inches so he can be relieved.
Jeez. So he's going for, 1,000% increase?
That's a big-time grow right there. That's
He's made the morning show rounds, on a lot of shows locally.
He's going, doing all these
I don't know if it's national, but I think it's, a lot of local morning-based shows. What's ours on... is it AM Northwest or
Wake Up Portland?
I mean, if this guy was in Portland, I'd want to try and get him on the show.
Yeah.
I'd be curious.
What would you ask him?
What's life like? How painful is it?
It sounds awful.
Have you ever been with someone?
I
have a lot of questions. I'm not judgmental.
Ocean, isn't that what they say?
They do say
that. There's literally no motion, though.
I mean, you can still have motion. There's
with
no
what?
Boat.
With what?
There's no boat.
I mean, it's 0.38, and, Pretty Ricky taught me grind on me.
Yeah, he did.
0.38, guys, that's
relax your body, let your mind be free.
Yeah, how far is 0.38? What are we talking, my thumbnail?
I was going to say, slightly past a fingernail, I think.
Slightly past a fingernail?
Yeah, I don't know. He says this has been
Is it permanently there, or does it ever get...
I think that's...
Like, there's no fluctuation?
I think that's
not a grower. He's just
micro.
He's a shower, and that's all he does,
12
is show.
12 p.m. and 6 p.m. for him.
Yeah, okay. I think it's... there's the situation. Here's the situation.
Here's the situation.
And
it's over.
We think.
It's over!
Unless he reaches his goal.
Well,
here's the situation.
Could he make some money shooting some...
You go from 0.38 to 3.6, that's going to look like a massive...
It's actually a good point, Schultzy. Like, there's a lot of weird people out there. Like, this guy should start an OnlyFans. I guarantee you somebody would pay for that.
Should he start an OnlyFans if he's got a GoFundMe?
That's what I'm saying. Instead of the GoFundMe and asking other people to donate for this, you should do it through your own ingenuity.
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of capitalism.
There's ladies that would pay.
They would. I think they would.
There's
I think it's such a weird, like, sub, you know.
I'd argue there's more men that would actually pay.
Why? Probably.
I don't know.
Thinking about being in the situation, how terrible it would be.
Oh, so they can feel better about themselves. Oh, no. That's actually a good. Here, feel better about your small unit by looking at my even. What? That might be the best case scenario for this guy.
No, I don't think they're sending pictures in, rubbing it in. I think they're like, dude, I feel bad for you. Here's $50.
I mean, there is a bit of a, like when you drive the side of the road and there is a car accident and every single person does the same thing.
Yep.
You slow down and you're like, okay. Like, we all are guilty of doing it. We make fun of the people in front of us of like, what are we slowing down for? And then you get up there and you're like, oh, I'm going to go slow down there.
Well, but I'm only doing from that this because angle, I'm stuck at a certain speed. I'm not doing it because I care that much.
There is a tinge of curiosity here, is there not?
Not when you describe that.
No.
When you describe it in that way, I don't need to. I get it.
I'd take a glance.
Yeah. I hope you donate $50 if you do.
Is that the going rate?
I don't even think that's
give you a peek behind the curtain, but you got to give $50.
That's not even technically meat gazing.
Well, he's he's raised $9,100 and he's had 72 donations.
Okay.
So what's that average?
After all of the public like appearances that he's made, that's it? Yikes.
You said $9,200?
$9,100 and he's had 72 different donations.
Okay, hold on.
It's about $180, $190.
I mean, that's
125 bucks a person.
That's pretty good per person.
That's not bad
at all. It's not bad if you get catch
somebody gave you a
bit.
Bigger lump sum that evens it out slowly but surely.
Who donated $2,000 to the cause?
Tough break, dude. Tough break.
We're already at 45% of people saying no, that they would not trade Donovan Klingon for Jaylen Brown.
I told you.
And I went off this ride.
Yeah, I told you.
I went off of this ride.
You would not like those results.
Maybe we should move to Kalamazoo. I'm out. What are we doing? Can't do it, man.
Trade machine season.
Wasn't he unplayable in the playoffs?
Yeah, he was pretty awful.
Okay, just checking.
Our
backup center played more minutes than him.
He's also only 22 years old.
I'm not saying Donovan Klingon's going to suck, but come on, people.
Yeah, you never know. Might have Rudy Gobert. Would you ever have Rudy Gobert or Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown?
Oh, okay.
In a heartbeat.
Loaded third hour and fourth hour of the radio program, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.